Continuing on our teaching tonight into the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to be starting tonight in the 10th chapter. We finished with the 9th chapter last night. This is looking at Saul and his call to the ministry. And really, it is a ministry. He's going to be made king. But we need to understand this. Is he's going to have an anointing to do this, just like anybody else would have anointing. Like you have anointing in a ministry today or anything. It's whatever you're doing, the will of God. God never calls you to do anything that he doesn't anoint you for. Amen. These are the things that you have to know about. We're going to talk a little bit about that because of the anointing. Is one thing is the Apostle Paul said, God found me faithful and put me in the ministry. Paul was called right at his new birth. He was called to the ministry, but he wasn't put in the ministry right away. So God found him faithful, he said, and put him in the ministry. So he never entered the call of his ministry. Even though you have a call, we're going to find out it's the same way here. You're going to have to, God calls people to things, but he anoints them to do it. And this is one thing is you want to know, learn about the anointing, and the anointing, what God has called you to do. Operate and walk in that. Everybody's gifted by God in ways. We are all generally gifted. We'll look at that. But there is specific gifts from everybody in the body of Christ. It's finding what God calls you to do, your place, and what you're supposed to do. Generally, in the body of Christ, people don't. They just look at the people, like whether it's pastors or teachers or whatever. They look at them and they have this call to ministry. Well, you do too. You have something God's called you to, and you need to find out what on earth that is. What does God want me to do? We don't do much really along that line, as people don't think in that way. But Scripture sure teaches it. We're going to look here at Saul. We're going to begin at where Samuel dealt with him when in chapter 9 it ended, where they had came down from the high place after they had done the sacrifice and they'd eaten. And up until that time, Saul didn't know exactly what this was all about. And Samuel told him to send his servant ahead of him, and he told him to stay there. And in chapter 10 and verse 1, it says this, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?'" Now what he did, said he called him as the commander over his inheritance. This is easier because we need to understand he's commander over, in other words, he's a leader, but he's, say, as we look at his sense as being a physical leader over them. Well, God anointed him to do things. I want to find out he'll be like a military commander and all the dealing in areas in those areas. But that's not the only gift that people have. We're going to find it because we look at Samuel. Samuel's gifted by God from certain areas. And through this, we find out really where Saul gets in a huge amount of trouble is because Saul tries, he's called by God to be a commander, but he's not called as a priest or the prophet, but yet he tries to take that place, which you don't do. He wants to operate outside of his own, what God's called him or anointed him to do, and it causes him problems. But right now we're looking at the fact, so he anointed him up until this time, and then we're going to find out he tells him some things that are going to happen to him. He said, verse 2, he said, "When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zilzah." And he said, "And they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worried about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward and from there and come to the Terebinth tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. They will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying." Then he says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal," it says, "Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. Now, this is all new concerning him. One of the things that God did here, understand, up till this time, Saul has had no anointing. He knows nothing about the about what he's called to do. He knows nothing about the anointing. He's never operated under this. And so we have, Samuel tells him three different events that are going to happen to him. He tells him these things. And really, it's just to bear witness to him that what Samuel's telling him is the truth. Samuel speaks to him and tells him these things are going to happen. So when he goes and these things happen, he knows this is God talking to him. And one of the things that I learned concerning ministries, I've said this many times before because I'm hearing Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said you never go into a ministry, you never go into that kind of thing just because you have an inward witness you think you ought to, because grandma said she prayed and God's going to use you for this or that. You don't ever pay no attention to that. That matters not. If grandma knows it's supposed to be done, let grandma do it, or let mama do it, or somebody else. There's one thing I've known over the years, many times if people calls in their life, I don't ever say anything to anybody. God would have to tell me to. They need to know it. You say somebody and they go, as soon as the devil gives them a hard time, they'll quit in 10 minutes because they never heard. See, it don't matter. Somebody else hears, somebody else knows. You need to know about you. That's why you don't look for a prophet to tell you what you're supposed to do. Don't worry. You'll blow it and miss it and whatever else if you go to somebody and they tell you, even if they're right. You need to hear from God for yourself what you're supposed to, because you got to walk by faith. You can't walk by faith just because somebody else said. Amen. Say, well, God told mama. Well, big deal. When stuff starts getting hard, it's easy to quit. You better know God said. That's what's held me steady all the years. In fact, no matter how things go, I can always stop and say, look, I know what God told me to do, so I can't stop and go do something else. I can't. You gotta stay where you're at. You gotta do what you're called to do. You gotta go there, because that's the way you make it and you stand. You have to know for yourself. You have the Holy Spirit in you for that very purpose. You know, you don't need the Holy Spirit in you if you need somebody telling you all stuff. You don't need Him. You have no need of the Holy Spirit. But He's in you for the purpose so you can know yourself, and that, because it's like anything. When you know for sure yourself, it's a whole different thing than somebody else tells you something, then you know it's for sure yourself that it's so. And so you always want to that, you know, there's things that God did for me in the same way to verify what He called me to do. And that's one of the things is keeping you on that track. Because I've seen a lot of people in and out of so-called ministry. The average person only lasts about 4 to 4.5 years in the ministry. That goes into ministry. It only has 4 to 4.5 years. Because they, you know, well, I feel I got this. I don't care. Mine ain't no feeling. I know. Feelings will change tomorrow. Believe me. Things will cause feelings to change tomorrow. You'll have stuff happen to you that won't make you feel like you ought to be doing what you're doing. But you have to know that this is what God said to do, and so this is what we're doing. Because that's the only way to know how to stay steady. I don't know how else you do it. Because you can't go by what somebody else says. You know, you go. It's just like me. It's like knowing even like from the standpoint. If I know what the Bible says about it, I'm confirmed. I know what the Bible says about something. I can stand on it because this is what the Bible says about it. I can stand. You can't go because somebody told you the Bible says. Do you know the Bible says it? Well, no. People do that all the time. Never look. Listen to some preacher preach and say something, and it wasn't even out of the Bible. But he said it was. I said to church as a kid, they quoted things all the time. They said, the Bible said, when I got saved, I remember telling my mom, I started studying the Bible, and she'd say things. I'd say, Mom, could you show me that in the Bible? I don't know. I know it's there. I said, will you please show it to me? I'm not sure where, but I know it's there. You're going to have to show me, Mom, where that's at. Well, they never could show us that. My dad would do the same thing. He'd say, the Bible says such and such. I'd ask him, say, would you please show me if that's in the Bible? And they couldn't. They'd say, oh, I know. And say, look, I'll tell you, say, I'm going to come back next week. I'll see you. And when I come back, have that scripture for me. I come back and say, get that scripture for me. We know it's in there. It just keeps moving around places. Know for yourself that it's in there. You know, you might believe it, but that don't make it true because you believe it. And so we want to make sure we're standing on the Word of God. Hallelujah. So you want the Holy Spirit to minister you. And you'll find this out, especially I found as a young Christian, there's a lot of things God bear witness with me about things to keep me moving ahead. Things I didn't know about, I wasn't familiar with. Things about in areas of the Spirit. I would have anointings come on me to do stuff. I had no idea at first what some of this stuff was for. I had no idea. I didn't have a clue what it was all about. Even as I got along. I mean, I had one night, I talked about this before, anointing come on me, it was so strong, I could not stand it. I mean, it was painful. It was like I had my hand in a socket and just, I couldn't let go and the electric just flowing through me. I had this going through me. I had no idea. I said, God, get this off. I said, what am I supposed to do with this? I had no idea what to do with it. I didn't know this thing's flowing through me. I had just got done. I had known about the anointing would come on me to prophesy. And when I found this out, I didn't know this at first, because there's a difference, like tongues and interpretation and general prophecy. But there's prophecy would come on me every once in a while, would happen to me, where I would start to prophesy, and it would be like I'm listening to somebody else talk. I would be thinking, I wouldn't even be thinking about what I was saying other than trying to pay attention to it, but my mind would be, boy, what's this, man? My mind would be thinking like that. Well, I never really realized that until I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about it with the prophet's ministry. He said the prophet that operates in, he said with him, it would operate. He says it's like somebody else talking. You know, under general prophecy, it's not like that. But when it comes like that, it's a totally different anointing. And to me, that was, well, I got used to that over time. I had it happen to me time and time again where that would happen. And that same night, that happened to me. And for probably 20 minutes to a half an hour, I stood and prophesied. And it just poured out of me. And I can remember standing there thinking, what on earth is this? It was just going and going and going. And then when it stopped, then this power came through me. It's like, ah! It's like, oh my God, get this off of me. But anyhow, then the Lord told me, he said, go lay hands on people. And it was funny. He told me to go lay hands on people. I never got to lay a hand on anybody. Every time I walked up at somebody, they fell down. I just started walking towards somebody and didn't fall. That was the one where Mike Arendo was standing there. He's the first person. Because I went outside the building. I walked out a side door because I didn't know what to do with this. I got to get outside. I got to get this. I couldn't stand it. I got to get this off of me. What's going on? And I walked out the side of the door of the building. And I wonder, I never thought about what people might have thought that I turned around, prophesied, and walked out the side door. But anyhow, you do these things. And the Lord said, you go and lay hands on people. And I just walked in the door. I walked back in the door and everybody's sitting in there quiet. I walked back in the door. I mean, I wasn't leading the meeting, but everybody's watching me to see what I'm going to do. I walked back in the door and I said, God said I was supposed to lay hands on people. Everybody in the place, I mean, ran to the front. And I thought, oh my God, this is weird. They all just, up to the front. And Mike Arendo was the first one. And I walked up in front of Mike Arendo. I went up like this and he, nobody catch her, hardwood floor, bang, slapped the floor, and it cracked. And I went down the road, I went to a few people, and every time I looked, somebody fall, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. And he was really clear, and he spoke to me. He said, quick walk down through in front of the rest of the people. He said, this is going to lift off of you. So I just walked down through. As I walked down through, everybody's like dominoes just fell. All of them just fell with no catcher, no catcher. They all just fell on this hardwood floor. But I watched. You know, the Bible says watch and pray. So I watched. And every time a person went down to the floor, their back would hit the floor. But I watched. Their head was about that high off the floor. And then their head would slowly go down and touch the floor. Every one of them fell like that. Their head never hit the floor. Weird. No catcher, nothing. And they felt like they were dead. Because when they went down, I mean, they laid there like they were dead. Weird. And I got done and I thought, what's this all about? This is So weird things do happen. And that thing is anointing-wise. But, you know, the anointing come on. But one thing is, you know, God works through you, does things. I wasn't in the ministry at the time or anything like that or, you know. I was teaching a Sunday school class and that kind of stuff, and I was doing that kind of thing. But you just get over and touch into things, and things would happen. And so, you know, you got used to that. But there's always things that come along concerning the anointing, and God will teach you in it to teach you how to cooperate. Because you got to learn to cooperate with anointing. You can have an anointing to do something and never really learn to cooperate with it. If you don't, if you get a fear to step out into things, you may never learn how to what that may do or how it may bless. Sometimes the anointing becomes so normal to you that if you don't watch yourself, you just think it's the way you are, but it's really not. So I always give God the glory for whatever. Because you can, it can get so, it's like, I watch that sometimes with, like, say, people with anointing to teach and preach and stuff. They get over it where it becomes so normal. They don't ever really walk in the light of, this is God works through me. This is not my great education or my smarts. And this is how God works. And get over in that things and realize, because like with me, I know I didn't have it before I got saved. And I know this came from God. And you got to keep that always on there, because you can limit how God can use you by not really recognize God working through you. After a while, you think it's you. It becomes so normal because it works. It's like the teaching. It works so normal all the time through me that it becomes like, well, you know, I'm just really good at this. I'm really, you know. No, it's the anointing. It does. It makes it work. Because as you do that, then you find out, as you go along, it's like I found out then I was supposed to teach. I started out as a line upon line teacher. The anointing came to do that. But then God told me, he said he wanted me to start teach by inspiration. Just like I'm doing now. You go to start to teach an area, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost starts bringing stuff up in me. And you start going through this, is where you're teaching more by inspiration, more than you did. And see, that's on the prophet side. That's more on the prophetic. There's a lot of guys out there they call evangelists that aren't evangelists. They're actually prophets. They speak by inspiration. People call them evangelists, but they're not evangelists. They do more. Speaking by inspiration, let me just say, speaking by inspiration can be the prophet's ministry. You don't have to prophesy the future to be a prophet. The greatest prophet Jesus said there ever was under the law was John the Baptist. He never prophesied a thing. He never prophesied. We don't know he ever did one miracle. See, people today don't know a thing about the prophet's ministry. There's different levels of prophet's ministries. And yet people need to understand that. There's people in different levels. It's like any ministry or anybody. There's different levels. Some people are anointed more for certain areas than another person operates in a similar gift, but not, it may not be as much as another person does. And we need to understand these things of how this stuff works. We like to categorize everything into a few categories that makes us really feel good, but there's different levels of pastoral ministries. There's different levels of all kinds of ministries, apostolic ministries. There's different levels of them. And the Bible shows about 5 different levels of apostles. The average churchgoer, all they know is there's one. But see, people won't know. See, they'll think that a gift, I must not have this certain gift because I'm not like this certain person who has that gift. You may have a similar gift, but you're operating on a different level. God uses you in a different manner in that gift than he does them. That's things that I struggled with starting off. Because see, everybody wanted to categorize you. They take, here, this person here, if you're like this in the ministry, you're going to be like them. Ain't like that. It's not like that. See, you may start off on a certain level of ministry and rise to another level. You may start off on a level and never go to another level. It's not like it is in the world. You know, I'm going to study and become further. No, you might never. You might stay in a certain level of ministry that you're in. That's maybe where God's called you to. Then other ones, they start off in a place. See, I started off in a place and then teaching, and then God said, well, now I want you to go to this. This is where I want you to go to teach. Well, I never thought about that. Yeah, I would have been just as satisfied to stay there. But, you know, that doesn't mean I'm going to go any further. He'll decide that if I'm supposed to, not me. And you just have to learn to be content in what you're in. That's where you learn to be. See, we have today, you know, if I'm going to be this, I'm going to go to school and learn to be this then. And I'm going to go further and go this. Sorry, don't operate that way in the kingdom of God. God chooses and calls. You don't. You don't decide callings. You don't decide to go further. You don't decide. In your personal life, you can grow as much as you want spiritually. But in ministry, you can't. You have to, whatever God calls you to, you stay within that realm. And it's good because of this reason. You don't have to perform for people. You just do what God told you to do. It might not seem much to somebody else, but who gives a rip? If God called you to it, you'd be satisfied in it where you're at. because it's how God would use you. And so, you know, we don't have to. See, today, you know, everybody looks at somebody, well, is that all you're going to ever want to be? Well, maybe, you know, even like that in life. If somebody just wants to be what they are, let them alone. Let them happy. You know, in other words, you know, you just need to go to college. Yeah, that there's work, right? We've made college do this. We made college so expensive, filled it with people, with over half of them never get to their degrees, never get, you know, they drop out of college, half of them, over half of them. And it's like, this is nuts. Sending people to something they can't do to begin with. They ain't intelligent enough to be there. So since they aren't, we still got to make money at this, so let's lower the standards. After a while, you know, you have an IQ of 7 and we'll give you a doctorate. Hallelujah. God doesn't do that. But see, you can be content. And that's one of the things I've learned this in the ministry is learn to be content in where you're at, what you're called to. We don't make things work. We cooperate with God and He does. Hallelujah. So God's helped Saul here in his ministry, his first experience in the anointing. We find out in chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, so it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those who came to pass, all the signs came to pass that day. It says, when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied among them. Let me just say this. It says God gave him another heart. It didn't say that God gave him a new heart. He didn't get born again. That's not what took place. God, if you look that up, God changed him. In other words, he came to a place there. In other words, he was anointed. He said, God's going to turn you into a different man. And really, the anointing upon is one of the things I found out is like, to me, I got born again. I had a great change in my life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when, I mean, through getting born again, but when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, that was more of an extreme for me than being born again. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, manifestation started through me of gifts of the Spirit. I had never happened. When I first got born again, this started happening. One of the things that I was fortunate, and I think for many people, I feel sorry for them because I wasn't at that time when I got born again, filled with the Spirit. We weren't going any place to church at the time. I wanted to go to church, but every time I wanted to go someplace to a church, God would tell me, "No, you don't go there." And I found out, like, people say, "Well, you know, I'm looking for a good church." Well, you better pray and ask God, because you go to the wrong church, it may mess you up for the rest of your life. And that's what, in fact, He told me. I decided one day we were going to go to church, and I went there. And the Lord spoke to me. We were in the parking lot of that church. He said, "You go in here and you'll never fulfill what I called you to do in the ministry. You can go and enter the wrong thing and end up sidetracked. And people will be there to sidetrack you."
Yeah.
Oh, it'll seem good. You seem that they're interested in your best interest. And you end up getting sidetracked on the things. Well, I didn't. I wanted to go. But one thing I did, I was constantly reading the Word. I was constantly listening to teaching and stuff. Constantly. I was all the time, you know. I listened to more sermons than most people did in churches. I was listening to stuff all the time. I was reading books all the time. I was reading the Bible all the time. I was doing this. I was feeding myself all the time. But one of the things, I was very fortunate because Kenneth Hagin's teaching, I was listening on how to be led by the Spirit. And I was listening to things about the Spirit-filled life, about living the Spirit-filled life. And I just thought that gifts of the Spirit would just, well, that's what you were baptized for. And actually, that's what you were. There is no such thing as baptizing the Holy Ghost just to speak in tongues. There is no such thing as that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is about the anointing on you. Just like with Saul. When the Spirit came on him, it was to perform a work. It was to do something. The Spirit on you. There's a difference between the Spirit within. You got born again. You have what it tells us over in John with the woman at the well of Samaria. Jesus said, you drink this water, you're going to have within you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. See, that's the Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit within you, that's about, see, I have the Spirit and you have the Spirit within you. He bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. He's in you to teach you, instruct you. The Holy Spirit in you is not to perform miracles or do things like that. That's not what He's in there for. That's what the baptism's for, is the Spirit coming on you. He comes on you to do things. See, this is what you want, the difference between the anointing on you and, you know, probably do some teaching on this area because people seems to not get this. It's important to understand the difference between the anointing on you and what's in you. Because there's things you will never accomplish, you can't accomplish and do it without the anointing on you. So like gifts of the Spirit, when they go into manifestation, you need to have to cooperate with them. They do things that you can't do. And you have to know how to cooperate. Many times, this one thing is I found, and when I first started off, I learned this. Sometimes I caught things of the Spirit, and there's many times I learned, oh, the Spirit was trying to get me to do something. I didn't catch it. I saw it afterwards. Oh, he was trying to, if I would have yielded to it. I've learned over time. See, like, everybody wants to get the anointing on them to do something. Well, I found out as I've grown. At first, sometimes anointings would come on me and do things. Now, it don't work that way. See, once you grow up a little bit, don't work that way no more. You can't keep doing that. What it is, the Holy Spirit will show me to do something there until I start to do it, till the anointing comes. See, that ain't fun. See, people want to have, you know, God, you know, come on me and make me do something, you know, and that's not the way it is. What he'll do is he'll bear witness me to do something and I'll turn around and start to step out. Then the anointing comes to do that. A lot of people want it the opposite way. Give me the feeling and I'll do it. You know, when I started off, sometimes it just seemed it went that way. But then I learned, you know, you had to turn around, bears witness with you about doing something. You've got to step out to do it. Oh, so your mind will sometimes bother you. It's like, well, what if I do that? What if I say this or that? Like sometimes, I mean, I can be studying on a Saturday. I've done this at times, like on a Saturday study, and all of a sudden the Lord will show me, on Sunday, call out so-and-so and say this. Oh, dear Lord, if I say that, what on earth has that got to do with anything? You know, it seems stupid to do. Seems really dumb to do. But you know what? So what do I do when Sunday comes? Oh, that's all I got. There's no anointing, no nothing. But you know, I've learned this over time. Until I do that, the anointing won't come. I won't get any further revelation. Nothing else comes. See, God always wants you to walk by faith. He wants you to step out on what you know to do, and he ain't giving you no more till you go that. That's where faith goes. That's what pleases him. What pleases him is you step out there. And I'm going to tell you what, it's uncomfortable. You know, I can do things more now than I could before. It don't bother me as much. But still, you get those times, it bothers you. Every once in a while, he'll say something. You know, like he told me to say to a guy, how do you eat an elephant? I thought, this is the stupidest thing in the world. How do you eat an elephant? Well, this is real spiritual, you know. Lordy, lordy. But you do things. Then when you do it, then the anointing comes and you have to go. You have to get over there and learn to trust him. See, we talk about trusting God. That's where trust comes. You know, you trust. If you know everything, you don't have to trust nothing. If you have the anointing on you right away, what do you have to trust? So you got to learn to trust God. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. In many ways, it's the same way. Whether you know, like just being in marriage, you have to learn, you develop trust over time with one another. You know, that the other partner knows what they're doing and stuff. It's like, as I learned, there's one thing, I learned, like with certain things, Wanda's faithful. If Wanda said to me, God was telling her to do something, it'd be hard for me not to say, well, don't do that. It's like, I just know her over time, and God put something in her heart to do, and I'll say, well, that's God said, then we'll do that. That's what we're going to do. But it's proved itself time and time again. Learn to trust. You know, if you have somebody that's always telling you to do something that never works out, it's a good chance after a while you could be a little skeptical. God said it don't work. One of these people says God said it don't work, and well, he had a reason for it. No, he didn't have a reason for it. If he said it and it didn't work, then he's a liar. God ain't a liar. So what people do is they do things and then try to push it off on God. And blame him for why it didn't work. Instead of saying, you know what, I missed it. People that do that are not going to be used much by God. You know? Everybody misses it. Everybody misses it sometimes. Sometimes we think, you know, we heard from God and we didn't. Just get over yourself. I mean, you're just human. You know, just look in the mirror and say, you know what, I messed up again. But you know what? God can still use me because I ain't trying to do nothing, you know. We're not showing off. Hallelujah. You know, you're quick to repent, you find out how quick he'll use you. So stay in that realm. So his heart was changed. In other words, there was a change that took place in his heart. The word heart here can be used in different ways in the Old Testament because it can deal with the mind of man, and also, in other words, what took place is changing him, and whether he's not the same as he was before. And so, in verse 12, it says, "Then he said, the man from there answered and said, 'But who is their father?' Therefore, it became a proverb, 'Is Saul also among the prophets?' And when he had finished prophesying, he went up to the high place." So, I want you to look at this because of the change that took place in him. I want you to see about this because when the Spirit of God, you need to understand this. It's just like, now number one, he wasn't born again. We're talking about the anointing upon. But even with us, we need to understand the fact that when a person gets born again, I do not believe that a person can be born again and not have a changed life. I don't believe in it. I think it's a 100% possibility because we can find nowhere in Scripture. Here we see the anointing coming on a person changes a person. And this is a person who's not born again. What would a person being born again, getting a new spirit, what would that do to them? What would that do to a person? You see, I'm a totally believer. Now, we need to understand this. We have an anointing within us. Everybody has anointing. We're going to turn over to John, 1 John. I want to read to you there. Because, see, I always say this. I don't know what born again is without being changed. I don't know what it is to be baptized in the Holy Ghost without being changed, something changing. I don't know any of this. I don't know what it is to have God do something in me, but with an anointing, and it not have a different change or a manifestation in my life to make it different. I have, when people talk to me about they don't, this change, whatever else, they don't know nothing, I don't know where they're coming from. I have no idea of such experience in Christianity that you could get born again, that you could get filled with the Holy Ghost. Nothing really changed. I mean, I can't relate to it. There's nothing I can. And yet we have loads of people, right? They say they're Christians and, yeah. See, people can use the term. It's getting a changed life. You know, these people running around all the time and, well, they just can't believe and can't believe and can't believe. How could you be a believer and can't believe? You're a believer. Bible calls you a believer. Mm-hmm. Believing, you know, believing God's your norm. It is the most normal thing for me to believe God. Mm-hmm. It is abnormal for me not to believe God. That is abnormal. And this is why sometimes we're dealing with people, we think they're Christians because they go through the motions of saying certain things. But we don't realize we're trying to deal with them in a totally different way. They're not really a believer. They're not. They did some emotional thing and in their mind they think, you know, but they've never passed from death unto life. See, death unto life will change you.
Amen.
It'll change. I went from death unto life. I went from I know what it means to go from darkness to light.
Amen.
When I got born again, it was like, wow. It was just the strangest thing because I could see and understand things differently. I looked at things differently. Why? Because it was real. There was a heart change in me. You didn't see things the way that you did before. And we need to understand this. In John, in 1 John, the second chapter, if we would read from the beginning of the chapter down to this part, you would find out that it goes through a part talking about people, that the Christian shouldn't be hooked up with the people in the world thinking like they do. In other words, the world's in darkness, we're in light, we shouldn't be, you know, it's the contrast between the two. There's a contrast between religion and in the church. He's writing to Christians, yet he's talking about people, now he's going to say, who went out from among us. These people that went out from among us. He said, they weren't ever of us. They went from out among us because they weren't ever of us. We have that today. The world, we have churches out here today, church, you know, groups and that stuff. It's like, about a month or so, 5,000 churches left the United Methodist Church over the things of dealing with homosexuality. And the churches pulled out of their denomination because they've gone with it. Well, people look at this stuff and they talk about dividing. This isn't dividing. All those ones that are staying ever in it, they were never Christians to begin with. They were in darkness for years and years. These people walked in all kind of junk. And these people over here and found out, they were never with them. See, we call this, well, there's dividing. Well, sure, there's dividing going on. People finally getting good sense. If they'd have read the Bible, they'd have been out of there a long time ago. The Bible says, come out from among them. It told them to. Finally, they got some good sense and came out. Why? Because they were never with them. See, we have all this was bundled together and everybody called it Christian. But it wasn't in God's eyes. There were Christians like in the book of Revelation. The church is a book of Revelation. Every one of those churches, he said he had people in them, were good people. But there was other. Most of the church was awful. And see, people sit within those groups. I mean, the final church, it says Jesus is standing at the door knocking. He's not even in there. He said, if you open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. No, I'm going to come in and sup with you. They ain't even Christians. They have all the trappings, but it says in the beginning of it, they look like they have a good church. They look like, well, they have all the trappings. And this is people, they're more moved. They know little about the Word and the Spirit. Now, this is what we want to talk about here in this, is we need to know concerning the anointing dealing within us. It says in verse 18, this was John writing. He's writing to Christians. He said, little children, it is in the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. He said, now listen, they went out from among us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest. That none of them were of us. See, this splitting up today, this is God's doing. This is not man's doing. This is God's doing. Now listen what he says. Now he says to them, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Now, he's not really speaking here, you know everything, because actually in translation it's not exactly correct. You don't know everything. Did you ever know that? You ain't found that out. You ain't lived 2 seconds. Because you don't know everything. It's not what he's talking about. He said, you have an anointing. And really, some translations said you have knowledge. Other words say you know thoroughly. In other words, some say you know the truth. In other words, you have an anointing in you. Well, what's the anointing in you? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you get baptized. That's an anointing. See, the Holy Ghost is the anointing. Now, he said, what about this? He said, you know about this because why? You have the anointing in you. See, if you're listening on the inside instead of looking on the outside, you know what I'm talking about when this dividing up and things going on. Why? You have the anointing. You know the truth. He said, see, this stuff going on, he's saying to these people, you got the anointing in me. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying. Why? Because this is what the anointing in you is showing you. This is what's going on. This is why you got to listen to the Holy Spirit in you. See, you have an anointing. The anointing lives in you. You have the anointing lives in you that's your teacher. He guides and leads you into all the truth. He shows you things to come. This anointing. Every believer has the anointing. So when you got born again, you got an anointing. You have one in you. If you're going to learn anything about how to flow in a ministerial anointing that he would give you, whatever he's called you to do or wants you to do, you have to listen to on the inside. The anointing in you will teach you. That's how you come to the knowing. See, we know we passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Why? Because the anointing in us. That's what we know. That's how we know. You know about what's on the inside. You don't know about what's on the outside. All kind of things can fool you on the outside. But see, that's why you listen on the inside. You have an anointing. So you know, in other words, you know what the truth is. He said, look, I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now he writes these believers, see, knowing the truth. See, it's listening to people over time. I've had people come to me and say, well, I read the Bible and I just don't get anything out of it. I just don't, and I just look at them and say, well, I don't, like, are you born again? They'll say, well, yeah. Well, if you are, you have no proof of it. Because anointed within you, what is it? It's written, you know the truth. You know truth. You should be able to read the Bible and get truth out of it. If you can't, there's something wrong with you. Something wrong with your new birth. And because you have the anointing into you to learn the things of God. See, we need to come down to this. Is the Bible true? You know, Jesus, I hear people all the time, and I pray and I say, God, you just don't see me, talk to me. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Amen. What would you talk anything different for? running around telling people you can't hear from God. See, Jesus, I just want to let you know, Jesus is a liar. I can't hear from him. And then say, boy, I sure do love him. You should never say anything on, you know what? I hear his voice. He said I could. Did he lie? But see, people walk around and they say all this stuff. They're out here in la-la land, living in wonderland out here somewhere, speaking against the Bible, speaking against the truth. He said, I wrote to you because you do not know. I didn't write to you because you didn't know the truth, but because you know it. This is why I'm writing you, because you know the truth. See, that's why we're, you know, my gift is for not for teaching sinners, it's for teaching saints. You don't teach sinners. You preach to sinners to get saved. Mm-hmm. So they can hear the truth.
Amen.
An unsaved person can sit and listen to teaching, listen to teaching, listen to teaching, and they ain't going to go very far. I've watched it. I got called one night to go to talk to a person. These people asked me to go with them to talk to a person. There's this guy. He was living in like one of these senior places and that stuff. And you go talk to him. And they're trying to minister to him. He just can't seem to get a hold of things and stuff. And they're talking about, oh, and he says he's a Christian and this and that. He's going through this whole thing. So I go and I look. I mean, he has all these books. His major thing that he was really like, he wants to believe God for money. That was his major thing. I could see that coming into it. And I thought, number one, buddy, you don't need money. There's a lot you don't know about God that you need to know. But he had this thing, because he had all these books on, you know, believing God for money, and they're the top sellers, you know. This, and boy, I tell you this, put them on book tables, people buy them suckers up, you know. But anyhow, he don't know this. And I just, where this guy's coming from and where he is, but they're dealing with him with being about him being Christian. And so they were talking to him, and I was talking with him. But finally, I just stopped and said, "Now, I said, you know, you say you're born again Christian. You believe Jesus. Oh, yeah, you believe in Jesus. I said, Jesus is your Lord, and you believe God raised him from the dead. You believe that?" He said, "Well, I don't believe in that there resurrection. I don't believe it. Somebody's raised from the dead." Well, I said, "I'm telling you straight out right now, you ain't a Christian." I said, "The Bible says that's what you do to get saved. Believe God raised him from the dead." I said, "You don't believe that he raised him from the dead." I said, "You can sit here in these books and this Bible and all this stuff all you want." But I said, "You wasted my time and yours." Amen. I said, "If you don't believe the Bible is true," and I said, you're trying to sit down and there's certain truths you want from the Bible to fulfill the lusts of your flesh to get money. But I said, you don't want Jesus, really. You just want what some help Jesus help you get something you want. But you don't want Jesus. And I told him, I said, until you do this, I said, you can go through all this motions you want. I said, you can read all these books you want and do all this stuff. But I said, there's only one place the Holy Ghost is going to keep leading you to, is believe on Jesus. And I said, you don't go there, you ain't going no further. Well, I didn't get no more calls again to come and see him. But he said, well, I don't believe in that resurrection from the dead. But see, people don't ask people. They just assume somebody's born again. I can figure when somebody can't learn, there's something wrong. There's a serious problem wrong. It's not a mental assent that you heard something when you're a kid about Jesus in the Bible. It's believing God raised him from the... It's about a person. He's Lord. And let me just say this about the Lord thing. Do you know where the thing Lord comes from? It comes from somebody being a king. They always called the king Lord. That's what he did. He was called Lord. See, we sing songs and say things about Jesus being king. But you know what? I'm just going to be honest. To most Christians, he's not. It ain't till you make him your king and your Lord. See, many people, we go through these motions and that stuff. People decide their lives and what they're going to do and what they're going to do. Jesus is not Lord. We miss this whole thing. This is when he said you confess Jesus as Lord. You're saying Jesus, really from a translation, I wish you'd admitted, you say Jesus is my Lord. See, people got to make Jesus their Lord. People don't. People want, well, they used to say people want fire insurance. But they really don't want Jesus. It's about making Jesus Lord, where he has the say over your life. See, we deal with the areas of authority. And this is one thing is understanding about authority. You can't be in rebellion against the authority of Jesus Christ and at the same time your authority work. Your authority is under His. Understand, this is where people don't. They don't. God wants them to do things. They don't live. He wants to live. Wants them to live a lifestyle a certain way. No, they live their own lifestyle. They rebel against His authority as Lord over their life, and at the same time want Him to do things for them. And they want their authority to work when they pray and ask for something. Oh, my prayer ought to get answered. Yeah, Jesus ain't Lord. Don't be surprised. Your authority in prayer don't work. Amen. You can't rebel against the King. I don't know, did you ever read about authorities and kings and that stuff? I mean, you didn't mess around with the King. You didn't walk in, the King decided, well, I'll tell you, if he wants me to do something, I won't do it. Too bad. Well, under the old kingships, you'd have been put to death. See, God's good. You know, a lot of people don't understand these things about how these systems work. That's why these things are talked about in the Old Testament. See, we're Americans, we think we got to vote on everything. I have a say. Not in the kingdom, you don't. Jesus said, you love me if you keep my word. In other words, don't say you love Jesus and you won't keep his word. You know what he says and you won't keep it. Mm-hmm. You don't love him. Don't lie. Don't lie. Don't go to lie. See, Christians turn around and lie. See, I love Jesus. But I don't think I have to do this. Right? If I do this or that, he'll forgive me. I can break his rules. We can just go ahead. It's this fun stuff. No, to me, what I like about the kingdom of God is this. I don't have to sit around and think about how to do stuff. To me, it's an easy system. I don't have to decide. He'll tell me. He'll show me. He'll show me his word. He set up a system. I don't have to try to sit and figure things out, try to do that. To me, it's easy this way. See, he didn't call many intelligent, and I was one of them, that not too intelligent. So it's easy for me to be able to look in the Bible and say, okay, this is what we do. This is it. That's easy for me. You know, I was like that with working and doing stuff. Like in the military, I never had trouble. See, in the military, you know, they were lords, definitely lords over me. When I was in, they were lords over you. And then when I went to basic training, everybody was lords over you. Everybody. You know, everybody, any rank above you was a lord over you because they told you, all told you what to do. You didn't go to sleep at night till they told you you were allowed to. You didn't get up. You didn't eat. You didn't do nothing. They were taught the things. And this is what, you followed that system. That was the system. But you know what? I never had trouble with that system. I didn't have to figure nothing out in it. They always told you what you were going to do, where you're going to be, and this kind of stuff. Everybody just get all upset about that. I didn't. It didn't require me to do nothing. I just went and did what they said and got along just fine. Got off into the servant in the army one year and 7 months and became an E5. 1 year and 7 months. People spent years in the military to rise in ranks. 1 year and 7 months. Why? I just wanted to go. They said, do it. I go do it. We don't think about this. Why? They're Lord. They're in charge. I'm not. They have authority over me. And it's an easiest thing in the world. The system, it's just like the kingdom of God. The system will work for you if you follow it. It blesses you. It blesses you. Get that in yourself. It's never to hurt you. It's to bless you. Always. That's why you want to have Jesus Lord over your life. That's why you want Him to rule. Why? Because under that, your authority will work more than more. And that's where you want it. You want it where your authority works. The authority He gives you. Faithful in little, ruler over much. Everybody wants to be ruler over much, faithful over little. Oh my, isn't it good? Hallelujah. Praise God. So, but walking like you're children of God. I look at these like John wrote a letter. See, John wrote this letter to me because why? I know the truth. Amen. See, this letter's written to Ed. Hallelujah. See, I can look at it and say, this was written to me. I'm one of these people. I know the truth. I have the anointing in me. See, identify with the Bible. Don't identify with your squirrely life. Identify with the Bible, it'll change your squirrely life. It does. It's how it gets changed. You identify with the Bible. You say what the Bible says. Jesus said, I hear His voice. I will not ever say anything different. I hear His voice.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus said so. My Lord said that I hear His voice. Well, I don't want Jesus hearing me call him a liar. I don't want to do it. You know what? I ain't going to want to hear that because he would do something bad to me. I don't want him to hear that because of what he did to me, that I would treat him in such a way. So you just get yourself over. Say, the word's true. Follow it. I have an anointing. I'm not trying to get an anointing in me. I have one.
Amen.
Yield to the anointing in you. Watch what happens with God's using and the anointing on your life. Hallelujah. Listen on the inside. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God can gift you in all kinds of ways and do all kinds of things for you. And it's just like, you know, whether it's anointing, whatever God has called you, and he'll begin to see. See, this is one thing is I think a lot of people have a trouble. They never listen to the anointing in them, so they never know and never come to the place of the anointing on their life to do something. Because really, the teacher's on the inside of you. The anointing's in you to teach you, to guide you, so you can know what to do and what God wants you to do. And you want an anointing on your life to what God called you to do. You don't want to just go out here and just do. You know, you can go out here. People do all kind of good things today. You know, it's Kenneth Hagin was in the ministry for 12 years as a pastor and was never called to be a pastor. God told him to get off the field, and then he went for 3 years into an evangelistic ministry. He was never called to that. He thought, well, I wouldn't go as a pastor. Why? Because in his denomination, most people are just either a pastor or they were an evangelist. So he's just following what they said, but he wasn't following what God said. So God got him into the ministry he was supposed to be in. Oh, my goodness. But I thank God. You know, he was honest enough to tell people this. I really appreciate it because when I left Bible school, God told me he was going to put me in a ministry that he called me to because I was faithful with other people. I didn't have to go through all those experimental because I had a good teacher who went through things and taught us how to listen to God. He didn't have people teaching him how to do it. He had gifts of the Spirit would operate through him when they first started. He was in the Assembly of God churches, and they were, you know, they're Spirit-filled churches. They're, you know, Spirit. They knew nothing about the gifts and operating, hardly a thing about them. He said, stuff was operating through me, and I asked questions to people, and he said, nobody knew what I was even talking about. I didn't know. He said, I figured that this was God doing something. I just wanted to know something about it. But they didn't even know. So he didn't have anybody to teach him. He had to learn all the stuff really himself, studying the Word and listening to God, is to learning about how God uses people. And they were Spirit-filled, but really didn't know much about the Spirit-filled life. There's things they did know that they were very good at, but in those areas they didn't know, you couldn't be taught. So, hallelujah, I was fortunate to have got to listen to somebody else who had learned it. So I didn't have to learn all this stuff myself. Because see, it takes time. The year, when I sit down and listen to him over the years, he talks about when he learned certain things. Man, he'd been a Christian 30, 40 years. Stuff that I learned when I first got born again, within a year of being born again, stuff took him 40 years to get a hold of. Because people weren't teaching stuff. The teaching on the faith, weren't people out there teaching on it? He talked about, you know, learning about healing and stuff. People, you know, had books about healing, but really how to do it, what God wanted in faith. He said stuff wasn't out there. It wasn't there. It wasn't around. So they went and did all the hard work. Thank God I got a lot of good things out of it. So I was really fortunate. Hallelujah. I was blessed. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I think we're going to stop there on that because I don't want to go on in this. We're going to go on next week to look in this thing, because we're going to find about the anointing coming on Saul and about Saul's changing and taking a look at Saul, because there's things that we can see in here for ourselves about the anointing, because the anointing, I just want you to get this, the anointing of God within you is just like getting born again and having the Spirit in you. Supernaturally changes your life. Expect, even now, you know, see, one of the things that is, many people have never really operated in faith concerning the anointing in them. You know, I've always learned to talk. It's like, you know, when I like open up to pray, I always thank the Holy Spirit what he's going to do. I always say what he's going to do. Because Jesus said that's what he would do. If I would believe and he wouldn't do that, then Jesus Christ is a liar. If I believe it, he will always follow. So the Holy Spirit will always do what Jesus said he would do. You know, just get that within yourself, that he will do it. You sit down, you know, don't sit down and try to mentally, just believe it. Is it true or not? Is the Bible true? And people say, well, I don't believe that the Bible's true. Well, that's fine. You don't have to believe it. But I'll tell you, none of it will ever work for you. You can sit around and say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it's true. Well, it's going to work. I mean, just that simple. But there's one thing. I proved it over the years that it works. This works. Whenever I get in line with the Bible, it works. And I know what it's like to be out of line with the Bible, and it didn't work.
Amen.
I know what it's like on both sides. I've been on one side of it on a certain thing, and on the other side of it on that same thing. It wasn't until I got on the right side of it till it started working. And so, is one of the things is God will always do what His Word says He would do, and you become convinced of that. Even though you find, like you said, I would go along sometimes of trying to, thinking, you know, I'm you know, trying to stand in faith, believe things weren't working. But I learned as I went along, you know, there's lots of times I knew certain things, but there's more I needed to know. Until you come to that place, but I always stuck with the Word of God. Well, the Word of God's true. God said this is going to work. Now, if it doesn't work, it can't be God. There's something Ed needs to know. So I would do this. Holy Spirit, you're going to teach me. You're going to show me. You're going to do this to me. You know, sometimes I've had this happen many times going along in the areas of teaching. I would ask the Lord to teach me certain things I'd want to know. And then I would turn around and I might, you know, hear a certain teaching on a certain thing, maybe while I was listening to stuff, or I might maybe sit and listening to, or going to meetings and listen to a minister or something. Get the answer. All of a sudden, the answer will come out to me. Sometimes it'll just the Holy Spirit will just speak to me and tell me something. He'll go tell me, look at certain things of Scripture, and I'll go over and look. And think, my God, right there's my answer. I've been looking for this. This is what I wanted to know. I see that now. I see it. But see, the Holy Spirit will. He'll lead you to it. And this is where you have to go. Is when you ask, you believe He's going to do it. Ask and you shall receive. It never says you ask and sometimes I say yes, sometimes I say no. Well, why isn't God telling me? Why isn't God no? Well, you just said He's not. Why on earth would you think anything would show up? You just said He ain't showing you. You're having exactly what you say. It's working great. My God, your faith is right on top of it. You said He wasn't gonna, so here He had. Hallelujah.
Yep.
See, you ought to be shouting. My God, my unbelief is strong. So you just say, God, I've learned to talk it over the years. See, and I just, you know, I can't imagine picking up the Bible and reading it and not talking to me. I just can't imagine that. I'll be honest with you. I've never had it happen since I've been born again. I don't know about that. But I thank God. I mean, I was fortunate to listen to the right person get me on track right away. To expect that God would, if anything God wanted to do, He wanted to teach me. Why would He put the anointing in me and He wouldn't want to teach me? I mean, would that ever be stupid? He would be the biggest ignoramus in town. I mean, my God. He sure wants to teach you. And see, get over nothing. Get excited about that. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, there's limits you may have on your life and anointing and meeting, but there's no on your ministry of whatever God's called you to. But you will never have any limit put on how far you want to go in personal growth. There's never any limit. However far you want to go, you can go. However far you want to develop and walk with God, you can go as far as you want. There is never any limit on it. There's no place in Scripture where we see there's a limit on that. We see with gifts and callings, there's differences and there's things, but not on personal development. How far do you want to go? So the Lord told me, He spoke to me about this, told me some things back in 2014, and I said, well, how far do I go with this? He said, it ain't got a thing to do with me. How far do you want to go? See, that's hard for us to think, because we like to always think God's controlling things. And there's a comfort in that, because I can get lazy and not go and say, well, this is all God's given me. Yeah, you can't get laid, you do that. Well, this is just the way that I am. And you know, how far do you want to go? To me, that's the fun part of Christianity. How far do I want to go? See, like with me, I haven't arisen to the place where all things are possible to him with belief. I know it's true. But I'll tell you what. My faith ain't in all things. My God. People throw that out there, but they don't realize the depth of what they're saying. That's a phenomenal thing. That's a statement of faith with no end to it. There's no end of a possibility of how far your faith can go. That there's nothing impossible to you. The Bible says there's nothing impossible to God, and it turns around things to the believer, all things are possible to him that believes. It isn't a matter of just all things possible to God. God said, if you'll believe it, everything that's possible with him becomes possible to you. My God. It's hard to think on the end of that one. I ain't got there yet. Number one, I don't know all about him. But as the more I've grown and learned, that thing keeps stretching out further. And I keep thinking, oh my, how far does this go that you can... What is it about this God that he would allow you and me? Human beings were down this earth, doomed for eternal damnation, saved us, and says, all things are possible to him that believes. You trust me, go as far as you want. Who would think anybody would do that? You know, I don't care how much you like your kids, you'd never say, hey, do whatever you want. We set limits, and rightfully so, we do, we set it. But God, you can go as far, he said, you can go as far as you want. Wow. Hallelujah. So let's take a long trip. What do you think? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, because you are great. And I want to thank you, Father God, for putting the wonderful Holy Spirit, that wonderful anointing inside of us. And I want to thank you, Lord, every one of us tonight. We have the anointing within us. We have the knowing living right inside us. We know that we pass from death unto life. We know, Lord God, that we're children of God. We thank you, Father, for that. Lord, the witness of the Holy Spirit working in us. What a wonderful teacher that anointing is. We thank you, Lord God, for opening and expanding us to see and understand and comprehend the things of the Word, Lord God, so we can walk in the glory, the places, Lord God, that you have set for us before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father God, you're taking us there, because you said if we seek, we'd find. If we knock, it would be open. And that's what we do, Lord, with these teachings. We're seeking, we're knocking, we're looking. Hallelujah. And Lord God, doors are being opened in the name of Jesus. And we're stepping through. Lord God, we want to thank you. We want to do your will. But Lord, we also want to grow and develop in our own personal life and fellowship with you. Lord God, we want to walk in those places, Lord God, that may have seen hidden from years past. But Lord God, as we walk along, I thank you that doors are being opened for us to see and to walk in, Lord, and to know you. And places of fellowship, Lord God, with you, that are so beyond what we would have ever thought in our mind that we could have walked in places with you. Lord, as Adam, you know, you came down in the cool of the day and walked with him. And even so in our lives, that we would come to that place. Because, Lord, I know that it's so that we can have you walk with us from day to day and walk along with us in fellowship, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you don't just come to us in the cool of the day. You come to us in the heat of the battle. You come and walk with us. Hallelujah. You're with us always. And we thank you, Father God. We want to know you like that all the time. Hallelujah. Not in spurts here or there, Lord God, but to know in your sweet fellowship, Lord God, that no matter what we're going through, Lord God, we're conscious always of your presence within us. Hallelujah. Speaking to us, guiding us, comforting us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.